This morning, we're doing something quite different, whatever that means. And we've got a wonderful young man. When I say young man, a relative to my age. Charles Nimmo is going to be coming and sharing a building report and a project overview that will help you understand where we're at, what some of the things we need to really be praying and decreeing into for the days ahead, and so on. What Charles has done, we asked him if he would bring together what's called a project overview to bring all the pieces of information or aspects of the vision, aspects of what's been done so far, aspects of the design, aspects of the discussions about potential businesses operating from the building to support and cover the overhead of the building, the running costs, and to bring all this information together and put it together in a way that can be presented to people who may be interested, or one or two that specifically are interested in significant input financially into it, but also to help us to communicate moving forward. So I want to introduce Charles to you, but I want to help you understand who Charles is. Charles, no, where are you, Charles? You're there. Did you complete your degree of psychology? You did. That's why you've been figuring me out for the last 25 years. And Charles was doing his degree, and you completed your degree. Then your father asked you to come and take over the farm. That wasn't on your radar, was it? Wasn't on the radar. And so Charles, for the next number of years, worked incredibly, researching, discovering, building systems, completely to bring the farm from where it was into something significantly more productive. Huge learning curve. I haven't seen anybody really commit to a curve of learning with such an intensity like it. Charles developed management systems, which we were then able to help other farmers and other dairy farmers and so on with management structures and systems. Then you were involved in helping the Canterbury Club. Who knows what the Canterbury Club is? One or two of us do. The Christchurch Club. Basically completely restructure and to re-envision and to redevelop, and you helped them with that process. And your picture's up in the Canterbury Club, I understand. Yeah, very good. Charles has also developed a number of businesses. He developed a gymnasium out in Leeston, along with other businesses there that he helps undergird because he owns the building they're in. He also developed a whole high-altitude training facility, the first in the country, with a whole training program, with training people in high-altitude situations that really enhances their performance incredibly. Just a range of things you've developed. You've developed from the ground up. And I just want to really esteem just the kind of guy you are. And the kind, when you take a hold of something, you just give it everything. And you research and you develop all this understanding around it. I just marvel. And so just thank you for doing what you've done for us today. And I want to hand over I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to receive the offer, give the people tithe and offering. Then I'm going to hand over to you. Okay, is that all right? Yeah. I just wanted you to know a bit about who Charles is, so that you know that we haven't had it. Him working on this for us has been a significant thing for us. So, Father, I want to thank you today for your presence here with us, the way you move amongst us. I want to thank you for just being able to gather in this freedom, in this liberty. And today, Lord, as we give of our tithes and offerings, the things that you move on our hearts to do, we just give in gratitude and faith and honor in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we've given either by automatic payment or cash or check or wherever the case may be, we just connect our faith with it. We give in faith and honor in Jesus' name. I thank you for rebuking the devourer, opening the windows of heaven. Lord, pouring out a blessing on us more than we can contain and letting it flow outwards. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And we bless every household here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, Grant, would you just pass those buckets around? Charles, I'll hand over to you, and then I'll just hand the mark back to me when you're finished. You'll be about 20 minutes, half an hour in that ballpark, I think. And just hand back to me when you're finished. God bless you, man. Thank you.
G'day. Yeah, I've been coming to Living Waters for maybe 23 years now. So over the 23 years, I've watched as the church has moved incrementally towards owning its own land and getting its own permanent structure on the land. So as Wes said, my job has been to create a bit of a feasibility analysis, and that is really the process that I had to go through is to start to ask questions about what the values are, what the culture is in the church, what the vision is, what the purpose, because you can't be all things to all people. You need to work within your own vision, within your own calling and that sort of thing. So that actually is very important to look at before you build an actual permanent structure. So I've generated this doc. It's a sort of a condensed version of the feasibility analysis. It's mostly to generate a bit of hype so that you guys can be informed of the process and also to start to get some buy-in. So to get some energy, to get some financial support, to get some prayer, to get some key skills lent towards this project. So hopefully that makes sense. So we'll go to the first slide. This is a bit of a background of the church itself. For people that are new, I'm going to read it just straight to you because the text is very small up there. It's not a bedtime story, so just stay awake, but I'll read it straight to you. Living Waters Christian Centre, formerly Hallswell New Life, was planted as an autonomous New Life church in February 1990, originally pastored by Leo and Suzanne Hansen. In February 1992, the church leadership role transitioned to Janet and Wesley Chambers, whom remain in this role to this day. In 1996, after receiving a clear vision and instruction from God, the name was changed to Living Waters Christian Centre. So that's the beginning of the vision. So the vision becomes a very important thread all the way through the process. The vision given to Janet in 1996 provided very specific directives, which included for us to purchase the land on the corner of Dunbars and Hallswell Road. Here we are. For the express purpose of developing a worship centre that would impact the nation and the nations. And from 2012, we have operated out of two large tents on the new land and a semi-permanent admin structure. So as you know, tents are a temporary structure, so we're going to have to transition towards a permanent structure. The next progression to fulfil the vision and mandate is to build a large permanent facility to serve Living Waters as it continues to grow in congregants. Furthermore, we wish to further develop as a place of worship and as an equipping centre for ministry, families and the wider community in Christchurch. The vision also includes to have a strong business arm to the church as to underwrite operating expenses and also to interface with the community. Making sense? Good. Next. So, as I said, the most important thing is to start with values, because the values lay the basis of the whole project. Living Waters' mission, Living Waters seeks to fulfil the Great Commission to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to our community, our nation, and to the world. The Living Waters values: to be a place where the presence of God is hosted, a place where the Spirit of God is celebrated, a well for the city, to have a profound sense of family, and to be a mission station. So the building has to serve these purposes. Yeah? Next slide, please. Okay, so some of you will be aware that Janet had a very, very profound vision, and this vision, open-eyed vision that she had in 1996, laid the details of the land and everything and the building, and piece by piece, elements of this vision have been coming to pass. So that's been quite a fascinating thing for me to watch over the last 23 years. So the prophetic vision, this is regarding the building. In 1996, Janet experienced a powerful open-eyed vision whereby strikingly detailed elements were revealed to her of a church building inside, outside and above, the exact land it lay upon, the wider community, new subdivisions and civil infrastructure, that's roads and motorways, that surrounded it. This vision was recorded and filed for posterity. So I've read the original document that's been written down of the vision that Janet saw. Over the preceding 20 years, the aspects of Janet's vision have materialised exactly as she saw in her vision, such as the prophesied piece of land being procured through a very faith-inspiring process. And on the prophetic timeline, the next step is to begin to create the building that not only Janet saw in her vision, but also in part Wes and other elders within the church. Janet saw the building use as a large expandable auditorium with offices, commercial kitchen and bookshop. The building would be of scale large enough to be instrumental in a season of significant harvest of new converts. Janet saw temporary walls that could be removed to expand to specifically 1,200 seating capacity. So I had a little play on Google Earth, and I jumped back in time, and I've come forward, and I was just curious as to what it looked like in 1996 when she got the vision. Definitely no motorway. I'm not even sure if there's a plan for a motorway. It's very hard to see, but bottom left, you can see there the equivalent space in 2020. There's a whole subdivision that's not there. And you can see here the work on the motorway. That was January last year. Now it's advanced a lot further. But you can see the progress towards having a motorway that runs, one arm runs of it straight, runs straight to this to Dunbar's Road. So that's pretty significant. Next, please. So the next part of the vision is the calling. So within the vision, Janet saw images that were allegorical to the purpose and vision of Living Waters Christian Centre. She was hosted by Jesus himself as she saw many, what she saw was chubby babies crying to be taken home, which signified a generation ripe and ready to receive the gospel. The new building and the ministry would become instrumental in taking in the new babies. Janet also saw a large eagle descend and cast a shadow over the new building, creating a sense of awe. From this eagle came many small eaglets that flew around the world and landed amongst the nations. In the vision, Janet experienced the ground shaking and was then lifted up by a volcano which blasted hot rocks that landed where the eagles landed, causing the cities to burst into flames. The interpretation of this vision is that Living Waters would be an equipping centre capable of sending trained evangelists, prophets and leaders to the nations to fulfil the Great Commission. Now, a number of you will have heard some of the, I guess it's rhetoric about eagles, eaglets, hot rocks, and you may not know where it originated from, but it has threads right back to this 1996 vision. Next, please. So, the project summary. The intent of the project is to build a structure that is true to the very specific details of Janet's vision. The building should be an asset for the city and a facility for equipping, outreach and harvest, while also being financially viable. Important. The church will incorporate businesses to offset church operating expenses and also as a way of interfacing with the wider Hallsville community. Proposed businesses are catering kitchen, chapel, cafe, library and early childhood education centre. The building cost of the 2,800 square metre structure is estimated at $11.5 million and will take approximately 36 months to complete. Two extra structures are proposed, so the main building can be expanded to 1,200 seats at a later date. One is to house the early childhood centre, the other is a second auditorium for administration and children's church. So potentially three structures. So there's some decisions to be made and some more feasibility to be done to work out where we start and how we approach this project. Next, please. So this is some work by Stuart Manning, the architect. So it gives you a bit of a feeling of the scale of it and the general look. The final look could be similar or depart somewhat from this, but this represents elements of Janet's vision as she saw it. We'll go to the next one now. This is a top-down view, and you can see the auditorium on the right, and there would be a mezzanine above that. Initially, that mezzanine is the part that would have the temporary walls. So the mezzanine would be administration, and at a later date can be expanded to add another, was it 400 to 500 seats? Another 400 seats on the other level. So that's the expandable component. Next one, please. We're currently exploring a feasibility of three options for staging the build. So the first is we could build the 2,800 square metre structure that you just saw, initially allowing for 400 to 500 seats, but also housing the business operations inside that structure. The building will be future-proofed in a way that it allows it to expand to 800 and then to 1,200 seat capacity at a later date, as the vision depicted, whether that be in years or decades. The pros of this approach are that we are less likely to trigger a number of resource consent setbacks with regards to noise, parking, amenities and access than if we went for a higher seating capacity straight away. Initial feedback from the council is that if we increase the traffic in Meeking Place too much, Meeking Place over there, we will have to apply for a second entry exit off Hallsville Road, suggesting they and Transit New Zealand will not initially support it. So that will be an ongoing process. If we want to get a second entry exit point, we will have to tell Transit New Zealand and the council why they need to do that. But we will have to make a compelling case in order to get access. That's if we go to the larger auditorium first. Let me see. The cons of this approach is that we risk not being able to get consent for access at a later date when we do expand. Furthermore, we need to decide if this approach is true to the original vision. So this is all part of the feasibility of there are pros and cons of each approach, and that's why some key decisions are due to be made. The second approach is Living Waters will seek to build the full auditorium and two extra structures to house the business operations, administration and youth ministry. The pros of this approach is that we will have to apply for full consent, removing the uncertainty of trying to obtain consent at a later date. The cons are that it increases expenses significantly and extra compliance could create delays that could be years long, which would necessitate Living Waters to find an interim location to hold services. So really we have to hit each milestone and get the building built before the consent and the certificate of public use expire on this tent. So this tent is part of a post-quake initiative by the council to house people temporarily. So eventually that will expire and we will have to find a permanent structure. If we haven't begun building this on this site, we will have to have a time off-site while we build this, which has its own complications. So we're at a very critical time. So the third option is Living Waters builds the smaller auditorium, and I'll show you images in a minute what that would look like. Living Waters builds a smaller auditorium for 350 to 400 seats and the early childhood centre first as a way to get started, and then we build the main structure at a later date. The pros of this are that it is a smaller project to start with. The cons are that the businesses will have to offset the costs of a larger footprint, which appears less feasible on paper, and we also need to decide if this is true to the vision. Okay, next please. Okay, so we can see this is one option. So this is, so Craig Wilson has done this nice, he's produced this nice image with the what the layout would look like, and then I've ruined it by putting this big structure up here and moved it around, so it's kind of like a working on a Picasso with a crayon, but it's not. But the original part by Craig looked amazing. Cheers. So you can see how I've altered the look of the top-down view of the building to incorporate, on the right, the far right, that I've written Kindy over that, so that's the Early Childhood Education Centre. So there's that, and then the top left is a chapel, the bottom left is kitchen, cafe, bookshop. So my logic here is to have a false wall that runs midway through the auditorium and to have businesses incorporated that could generate revenue that would cover the operating expenses of the whole business. So that's the idea. So then we get to build a building that is true to Janet's vision in terms of the structure and get it to be self-funding. So I've worked out the commercial rent for the businesses that would go in there, and they would offset the operating expenses of that whole structure. So it works in principle. Next, please. Okay, so once again, this is the full project. The top The top is the whole auditorium, and bottom right, that would be potentially what an early childhood centre could be if it was a separate structure. And bottom left is auditorium and admin block. So one option would be to start with the bottom structures first, and then at a later date build that top structure. But like I said before, we have to decide if that's true to the vision or if it's just a pragmatic way of getting ourselves a permanent structure so there's no upsets of having to move off-site for a number of years. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, next one, please. So here is just a project timeline. As project timelines, the nature of them is that they move all the time. So as one delay occurs, it pushes all the downstream work along. But just to give you an idea of some of the key milestones, I won't go through all of them, but as soon as we have made a final decision and to move on one of these options, the project timeline will be updated and we'll have to hit it with pace. Next. So this is the business model, so I had to look at the feasibility. The most simple test of business feasibility in this scenario is A, if the businesses can pay market rate for rent. So there's no point having businesses and having a very loose arrangement where the church ends up funding them or the businesses aren't paying their own way. So they have to stand on their own feet. So A, if the businesses can pay market rate for the rent or close to for the square meterage that they use. And B, if the revenue that the businesses pay to the church in the form of rent can cover the operating expenses for the whole 2,800 metre structure. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in effect, there's the church and then there's the businesses, and the businesses will pay rent to the church for using their square meterage, and that rent should cover, underwrite the whole church project so that we can all just relax and the building's maintaining itself and we're not relying on constantly passing around the hat to keep the place afloat. So it just looks after itself and it does work on paper. The businesses must pay rent, at least on paper, regardless of whether they are run by the church or a third party. Operating expenses include insurance, general maintenance, services, building warrant of fitness, compliance checks, security, and some administration. So here are the quick numbers. So operating expenses, this is for all the accounting minds out there that can make sense of this. Operating expenses at $55 a square metre a year would come to $154,000 per year for the big 2,800 square metre structure. Market rate for a business to lease the early childhood centre area, which I showed earlier in the blue, would be $250 a square metre at 400 square metres, yielding $100,000. Kitchen would be $450 a square metre because it's only 65 squares. That's $29,000. Cafe would be $330 at 60 metres squared. That's $21,000. And the chapel for wedding venue hirage, $330 square metre, which would yield another $16,500. And total rent is $166,000. And of course, that has to offset the $154,000. So you can see on paper, it works. So this suggests that the businesses could pay market rent. Even if it's just a book entry, they would cover operating expenses. Next. So this is a summary of the key challenges. It's the last slide. So we're looking for prior financial and expert input into the following areas. The current site. So currently the building warrant of fitness for the tents has expired and the resource consent or certificate of public use expires next year. Is that? That's about 2021. Then we've got to renew it for the coming year. So we get one more extension for the certificate of public use for this building. So we've got to do something reasonably shortly. If we haven't done any work on the site, they're less likely to support any extension. If we are doing work on the site, they are more likely to support us staying in the tent if we need to stay in a little bit longer. So we need to kind of do something soon. Access, this is a key one. Currently, access to the living water site is via one cul-de-sac. Interim feedback from the council is that they would not support a resource consent for an increase of traffic flow that would result from increasing occupancy from 500 to 1,200, or even 500 to 800. So, at the moment, most of the amenities are rated at about 500 person occupation for this property. A professional planner is currently engaged with traffic engineers and the City Council to explore solutions for obtaining another access. The closest main road has a flood swale immediately in front and is also an 80 kilometre an hour road, which traffic engineers suggest will be problematic for creating an exit straight onto the road. Transit New Zealand are responsible for this section of road and have pushed back, and just not officially pushed back, but just in terms of discussions, pushed back against the proposition for living waters to exit onto this road. For this reason, it has been proposed that we build the new building for 400 to 500 seats initially, as to not trigger the need for an extra exit, and the associated costs, delays and uncertainty associated with it. If this is the chosen course of action, we must be satisfied to deal with the access issue at a later date if we increase the scale of use. Three, favour. So Living Waters was instrumental in assisting the council to create the flood swale in the first place. If you ever get to chat to Wes about the whole process of obtaining the land, it is really, Wes or Janet, about the process of obtaining the land, it is amazing how it worked and how Living Waters worked with the council, and the council needed Living Waters to be able to do this flood work. So there is a bit of favour there. So Living Waters is actually sourcing the documentation that shows the council's initial support for the whole church project. So the council engaged in this process in good faith that we would eventually build a permanent structure. So we would hope they would support us building a permanent structure. Finances, key payments are coming due. The church will require $100,000 to complete preliminary works. Once the project has been defined and feasibility completed, Living Waters will be seeking partners who are called to be part of the vision to contribute to the project. And defining the team, the build team and committee will require some key personnel in the field of project management to manage the complexity of the build, and also further work is required on the business models for the commercial arm of the project. The goal is to get the business arm of the church family established early in the project in order to maintain cash flow. And that's it.
Thank you, Charles. You put a lot of work into that and bringing it all together, a reasonable number of discussions and talking with other people. obviously, we don't have any time to waste. We have the issues with the exit and entry that at this stage Council and Transit New Zealand have not been very warm to, which apparently is standard. But we'll endeavour to push on that, obviously. So we do have some key decisions to make, and we have some key concepts to try and get our heads around, because we absolutely want to be faithful to the vision that God gave us. We want to be able to say, like Paul said, I've been faithful to the heavenly vision. The way of getting to the end result, I'm just wondering how Noah built the ark. There doesn't seem to be any instructions of the detail of how to do it, where to lay the keel, what even a keel is. There was a whole lot of stuff that didn't come, but Noah built an ark. And we are here because of that. You may believe something different, I don't. I believe I'm here because of that. So the detail of how to go about something isn't always given quite clearly in a vision. And so we've got to work out as leaders as to how we approach this, drilling down now on the fact that we have these access challenges, that if in buying the land in the way back when we were in negotiations, if there were some things I understood then, I probably would have pushed for to try and get guarantees, but I just didn't know them then. And that's just how it was. And so there were some things we did know, and God came through amazingly, just miraculously. There were some things we didn't know. We didn't know them. So thank you so much, Charles. Put your hands together for Charles, and thank you so much for bringing this all for us. So there's a lot of detail in all this that when we try and transfer that detail to somebody else, it, you know, the odd little detail isn't exactly correct as we remember it. That's not a problem. Not a problem. So I'm not sharing a word this morning. I'm just wanting to lay this out before you. We came into this whole time of encounter because as a church and as an eldership and as an oversight, we had embraced a move of God. And in the early 90s, there were breakouts of fresh outpourings of the Holy Spirit in our nation. Celebration Center experienced an amazing move of God with Jill Austin from the United States. And then up in the north, there were other outbreaks that happened, just amazing moves of the Spirit. And then in 94, Toronto began to break open through the ministry of Randy Clark, who had been impacted greatly through Rodney Howard Brown from South Africa. And then Pensacola started. There were many places around the world that had fresh outbreaks. Some of them became very well known and wonderfully and rightfully so. Others were basically in secret. Well, not in secret, but just not known, you know. And we were one of those. We were a little church on the outside of the city, we were relatively fresh leaders to leading in the city. We were from the outside. We weren't part of the inner circle of the city leadership in that sense. And we were considered a pretty weird mob. People thought we're going to blow up because too much Holy Spirit, you blow up. You know, too much word, you dry up. You know that old saying. It's stupid, really. Too much Holy Spirit, you blow up. Well, hang on. You mean to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't know how to govern himself? And so what we found in that time was people's hunger for the word increased. One of the Christian bookshop owners said to me, he said, I don't know what's going over at your place. He said, but I'm finding so many of your people are coming in, they're hungry for books. They're hungry to read. And I said, well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when people open to the Holy Spirit and open to his work and they receive a fresh impact and outpouring, what happens is it stirs your hunger for the scriptures, stirs your hunger for the word of God. You want to know truth. You want to unpack this encounter you're having. So he said your people are probably some of the highest book buyers per capita out of any church in the city. So, of course, you know, that's an interesting statement to make. And so in 95, early 95 came into a whole fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Did we know what we were doing? Not really. Did we know how to receive his power and minister his power? Not really. All we knew was to gather and worship and wait for him to move. And sometimes he did and sometimes he didn't the way we thought we would like to. And then other times he moved in such a way as that I am right on the outside edge of my comfort zone. People were just being smashed by the Holy Ghost, crying, wailing, shaking, yelling, and just amazing things happened. We saw miracles happen. We saw inner transformation in people's lives. I had to choose another set of friends because some ministers were like, you know, keep the cross in front of them. Garlic, you know. Is this of the devil or is this of God? Well, we had seen so many beautiful things happen in people's lives. We knew it was God. We had no question. Because when people get up off the floor after encountering God, not that you have to be on the floor, but your feet you need to be generally. And you're in love with Jesus more. And you've been released into a whole area of forgiveness more than you've ever and there's been some healing on the inside. There's been a physical healing. Or there's been a fresh sense of the reality and the goodness of God. That's not the work of the devil. The work of the devil is people being hard-hearted, cynical, backbiting, lukewarm, stagnant, argumentative, lusting after each other when they shouldn't be, I'm talking about the work of the devil. But when people are encountering Holy Spirit and they love each other more and they forgive each other more and they love Jesus more and they've got a vision forming in them that they want, or something they want to do, or something just gets cleaned out of their lives, or they get delivered, or they get a vision from the Lord as to how to unfold some in their workplace, a strategy that's going to bring a breakthrough. That's not the work of the devil, my friends. Okay? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so in amongst that time, which as far as I'm concerned is not over, because here's the deal. God wants to get himself into us so he can get himself through us. It's called the principle of incarnation. Jesus is God incarnate. In other words, he's God in the flesh. He's God come to earth. He's God amongst us. Now that through Jesus and through having received his forgiveness and the power of his blood, our sins are washed away and we're no longer considered sinners as far as heaven's concerned, now we become the people who God dwells in and we can incarnate him into the world. In other words, God can move through us into the world to bring his power, his love, his goodness, the gifts of his Spirit, his miracles into the world because we carry him. So what we had to go from the idea that somehow God always had to come, Jesus always had to come, Holy Spirit always had to come, to the realization Holy Spirit has come and he's in us and we release him and we become people who carry the incarnate work of God onto the earth. Okay with that theology, Vicky? And so now we don't consider ourselves as always being people who are waiting for a move, although I'm always grateful when I hear of a fresh outpouring. I also know that I'm a person who carries a move. And you're people who carry a move of God. And you carry his presence and you carry his love and you carry his anointing. And that anointing can vary a bit depending on responsibilities and hunger and so on and intimacy with the Lord. You can go through times when it's a bit dry and other times when it seems like stuff just happens. Because ultimately that continues as we stay intimate and connected with the Lord. But here's the deal. There's more and more people need to have that encounter and need to come into the place where they know that they carry the presence of God. And more people are hungry because they know that there's more than what they've been experiencing in this current world situation. There's more of God. There's more of his Spirit. There's more of his power. There's more of his grace. There's more of his revelation. There's more of his encounters. There's more of his work in us. Because every gift we receive as the family of God, the purpose of that gift is actually to benefit everybody. So every believer who's come into a place where they've come into a whole new release of forgiveness for their brothers and sisters or their mum or their dad or their uncle or their school teacher, that release of forgiveness and that freedom in their spirit and their heart ultimately benefits all of us because we have another on fire person who's not bound in bitterness. You hear what I'm saying? Every time somebody receives a healing, that actually is for all of our benefit because that healing is a testimony to the glory of God. And it can cause us to go, wow, God is in our midst in that sense, and God is moving, and we get an encouragement and a release of faith, and more miracles happen. Every time somebody gets delivered of a demonic oppression or demonic stuff that's messing with their lives, they become a freer, more loving, more whole person that can actually express the goodness of God into the world in a whole new way. So it benefits all of us. So whenever you see somebody getting impacted by the Holy Spirit in a way you don't understand and you think, man, I want that, but it's not happening to me, and you start feeling jealous and insecure, just remember that jealousy and insecure is not the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the enemy of your soul. And it's trying to cause you to take a side. And I saw men and women sometimes take sides against the Holy Spirit. I had one man say to me, if it happened to me, it would be all right. But because it doesn't happen to me, I don't want it to happen to anybody. Wow. What is that coming out of? So we are positioning ourselves not only to release what we carry, but to receive what others carry and to receive fresh things that the Holy Spirit, fresh things that God wants to pour out on the earth to make us more effective, more in love with him, more in love with each other, more united, more able to host his presence, so people can come in who are broken and hurt and wounded and bruised and battered and can come in and experience the power of his love and the power of his goodness that just releases them into a whole new way of life and a whole new life itself. So in 96, that vision, the vision that Janet experienced, was actually the whole encounter went on for 3 to 4 days. But the first few hours of it was so intense. It was just so intense. And trying to work with Janet, because she knew that I was in the room, but she couldn't talk to me, she couldn't see me. Well, she could talk to me. She hoped I was in the room to able to hear. But it felt to her like I was a long, long way away. She was so caught up in the thing, what God was doing. She couldn't see the lounge. She couldn't see me. All she could see were the things that God was showing her. And at times it was so intense that she was crying out. And I was trying to write down, trying to get what she was saying and trying to write out. But we thought people all over the nation were experiencing this because we were in a move of God. We thought leaders all over the nation were experiencing this. So we didn't really fully appreciate just how incredible and privileged we were of receiving this. Not to foster pride at all, but to foster a sense of, oh my goodness, what do we do with this now? And so for a long time, we didn't say much to a lot of people because we didn't know how people would handle what we'd experienced and what we'd seen. But over time, as we shared with the elders straight up, I mean, Malcolm and Marjorie came into it, and that first morning after that impacted themselves tremendously. And so what I'm trying to say is this. We received an incredibly powerful download from heaven. Noah received a phenomenal download from heaven. Build me an ark. I'm going to bring 2 of every animal, every unclean animal, and a bunch of all the clean ones to you. It's going to rain. It's going to rain for 40 days. The climate's going to change. The earth is going to change. That's basically what everything's going to change. But we don't see in Scripture anything written about the detail of how you lay the keel. How you fit the beams, how you curve the gopher wood, there was pitch inside and out to waterproof it, but so we're right now endeavoring to process what is the final approach on how we do this. And we really want to receive the wisdom of heaven because we want to be true to the vision. But we also need to make an end. We also need to make the right start. We're on the land. This is a miracle. To be on this land is a miracle. We tried 6.5 years to negotiate with the owners to buy this land, this piece of land. This was the piece that God showed Janet in the vision. There were no subdivisions. There was no motorway. There was no Ryman Healthcare. This was Greenbelt. In the city zone, it was Greenbelt. Nothing could be built on here. And so, for even to us to be able to build on here, we knew that it had to even have a zoning change. We didn't understand the intricacies of these things at all. But 6.5 or more years later, we finally get a ring from the city council drainage engineers. And they asked if we'd go in partnership with them to approach the Catholic Church, because the Catholic bishop owned it, the piece of land, to go into partnership with them to get us them to hold their subdivision, survey land for us, for our church and our future needs, land for them, for their drainage system. Would we go in partnership with them? This is just after having received a letter from the Roman Catholic Church. We're not selling you the land. We're subdividing it ourselves. You'll see machinery on it within weeks. God bless you. Goodbye. Weeks went by, no machinery. Weeks went by, no machinery. Months went by, no machinery. A long time went by, no machinery. And then the drainage engineer rings. And you all know all about that, Bill. And so we're standing on a miracle. Some people have commented when they come onto this land, they just have a feeling. The prior deputy mayor, when she came on to help open the tent, she said, as soon as I came on the land, I felt like I should take my shoes off. So this is not a boast on our behalf. This is because of the purposes of God. And so we're trying to flow with the heavenly vision. And we've got some big decisions to make very quickly. So we really covet your prayer. We really covet your prayer. We really covet your faith. And we really covet you declaring access off and on the site and release of finance. This began in miracles. This began with a miracle. We couldn't have dreamt this up. Janet could not have eaten enough garlic or pizza to get into some sort of vision. We were minding our own business. We weren't in a prayer meeting. We weren't in a worship service. We were at home on a Monday night, a day off back then. But I want to tell you, my friends, this began in the Spirit by in the power of God. We're totally reliant on the power of God. I say to you as a builder from way back who did his trade as a joiner, then went into roofing, then went back into joinery, then went into heavy construction on the Clyde project, all just as a carpenter. I know what building projects are like. And the RMA now and all that city is far more complex than it ever was when I drew up the plans from my mother-in-law's house and built it myself next door. Malcolm drew up the specifications to go with the plans. I'm drawn on my graph paper to go to the council to get approval to build my mother-in-law's little house. It's way, way different to what it was then. But we need the power of God to move on our behalf. We need God to move. This is beyond, it feels very, very much way, 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 way beyond my abilities. I'm being real honest with you. If I start to think about this and trying to figure it out, I start feeling depressed. So I cannot go there. The only place I find peace on this is to go into the original vision, to go into the promises of God, to go into the remembrance of his faithfulness, not only in this, but also things of healing that have happened in my family, my daughters, and to remember the fact that it all began with him. That's the place I find peace. If I disconnect from that place and I go into how can we make this happen, how is it all going to work out, how are we going to make this happen, we have to do all sorts of practical things, but I have to stay in the place where my heart is resting in the faithfulness of God, because if I come out of this place, this thing is far too big for me. I wonder how Noah felt. Wonder how Solomon felt. Wonder how David felt. Wonder how Moses felt. I've got to get these 1.5 to 3.5 million people out of here from the Pharaoh that's the power of the world. So I'm just being really open with you. You know, I haven't got this figured out. I have to stay focused on his kindness and faithfulness. So we're drawing on people like Charles and Steve Bensberg and various ones to try and figure this out. What are the practical things we have to do? And there's a lot that has to be done. So would you please pray for us? Could you please uphold us? Because we want to be faithful to the heavenly vision. And we've got to stay focused on them. So can we stand? Father, I want to thank you now for your great kindness to us. I want to thank you for the people that have connected with Living Waters Christian Center, with the vision you've given us, and connected with you. Because ultimately, this is totally about your purposes. This is about harvest. This is about souls. This is about the kingdom. This is about growing prophets and apostles and evangelists, pastors and teachers and saints that are equipped for the work of the ministry to not only impact New Zealand, but nations of the world. Lord, preparing harvesters for the greatest harvest humanity will ever know. Of souls being taken out of darkness and brought into the light of the goodness of God and in security in the kingdom of God and the family of God, being new creations. So, Lord, I want to thank you for Charles. I want to thank you for Stephen Beansberg. I want to thank you for all of the ones that have been involved so far. I want to thank you, and I ask you to pour out grace on us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This began in your power. Just as your apostle said to the Galatians, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did God work miracles among you because you kept the ceremonies of the law or because of the hearing of faith? And I want to say, Lord, as we began, so we will journey, and so it must be completed. All in the power of your Spirit and the power of your miraculous working to bring people together, to bring skills together, to release finances, to move us, to empower us, to enable us to do this and to do that according to your will. Give us wisdom for the steps ahead, so that your word would be fulfilled, that your purposes would be complete, and that generations to come, should you tarry, would move in the things of the kingdom and incarnate Jesus into the world. Father, we love you. We honor you. We give you glory and honor. We magnify your beautiful name. Sing it one more time. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You're here today and you're come, maybe invited by a friend, or maybe you've just felt drawn, or maybe you've been coming for a while. And there's been some things you've heard this morning that you haven't understood, but some things that have happened in your heart that you think, oh my goodness, what's going on with me? Maybe somebody's felt like they've come home, never felt like that before. I haven't felt that for a long time. Maybe you're standing in this place or you've been worshiping here today and you've had tears down your eyes because God's just been touching your heart. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus is so interested in you. He is the healer of broken hearts. He heals broken hearts. He's the one that unravels confusion, brings clarity. But most of all, he's the one that forgives sins and lifts the weight of a guilty conscience and the sense of being separated from God and hopeless. He lifts that right off us. And when we receive him, he makes us God's child and his family forever. And he secures you by his own gift of his own reputation with the Father, his righteousness. And we begin a new life. We don't understand a lot of it for a start, but over time, greater understanding comes, greater realization comes. But it starts when you make a decision to open your heart to the Lord and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Save me. Forgive me of all my sin. And he does exactly that. And the Bible says he reconciles us, or he connects us back with our Creator, who is our Father. So I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to present an invitation to you today. You can either accept the invitation or you can say, no, not today, thank you. But I'm urging you to accept the invitation today. I'm offering you an invitation to come into the family of God, which is a worldwide family. It's not just here. But I'm asking you to consider this invitation to open your heart to Jesus and come in to the family of God to receive him and to receive the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of eternal life. Who would like to accept that invitation today? Just lift your hand and wave to me. Who would like to accept that invitation today? I'm wanting to extend that invitation to you. You've heard some things today you may not have understood, but there's other things that have connected with your heart. Who is that today? You want to, that's Pastor Wes or Wes, whoever, or funny man with no hair. I accept that invitation today. Who is that? Anybody want to accept that invitation today? Just lift your hand, wave to me. Lift your hand and indicate to me. I want to pray with you. If there's anybody in this place today, I'm not closing this meeting until we've finished this invitation offer. Anybody in this section? Anybody in this section? Anybody in this section? God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. We're going to pray for you very soon. Thank you. This is the best day of your life, actually. You may not realize it yet. This is the most important, most wonderful decision you can make today. I made that decision when I was 19. I've never, ever regretted it. Is there anybody in this section? Anybody in this section? God bless you, my friend. Up the back there. God bless you. Anybody else in this section? Anybody else in this section? Anybody else? Now I'm going to ask you to do something very courageous, but it's not as courageous as what Jesus did for you. Nowhere near it. But it is a step of courage nonetheless. There's something very powerful when we say, yes, that's me. I'm opening my heart to the Lord. I'm putting my trust in him when we do it publicly. And so somebody, your friend is going to bring you. We're going to just stand here in front of everybody. You don't have to face them. But we are all going to pray together for these two beautiful people. Would you like to come? God bless you. Would you like to come? God bless you. Just come, guys, and bring the young man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What's your name?
Alex.
God bless you, Alex. Thank you. Is this your first time here? Second time. Thank you so much for coming. That's wonderful. A bit scary for you? Yeah, it is. That's all right. It was scary for me, too. Okay, mate, what's your name? Tyrone. Your first time here? It is. Come on over this way, we go. Any other guys joining? Any other guys joining in? What's your name, my friend? Do you know the Lord yet? Have you already been? Get on your hat, what's your name? Okay, mate. See you. G'day, Ducky. How are you, mate? Yeah, you? you just want to rededicate your life to the Lord, don't you? Yeah, good on you. Yeah, I know. Been a big journey for you, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. How about we all link hands across the place? Once again, if you're uncomfortable doing that, no problem. But we are going to pray this all together. And online, if this is you today and you want to receive Christ, please pray for us online. God's going to do something wonderful in your life. He's going to begin you on a whole new journey. I know that from personal experience. I'm not making it up. I know. It happened for me. It happened for my wife. It happened for this man. It happened for this man. If you pray this with me and you mean it in your heart the best you can, God's going to take you absolutely at your word. Okay? God's going to take you absolutely at your word. Okay? Yeah. So pray with me, everybody. God, I stand here today. And I open my heart to you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, all my rebellion, everything I've done against anybody else, and every one of your laws that I've broken. Father, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness now. And I put my trust in Jesus, who is your Son, who came to die in my place so that sin could not kill me. Jesus, come into my life now. And I thank you, Lord, for welcoming me into your family. I am now your son. I'm now your daughter. Fill me with your spirit. Strengthen me with your power. Connect me in a family. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you. God bless you, Tyrone. Jacob here is going to look after you. You know, you guys know each other. You guys, yeah, going to look after him. And we've got it. We've got some stuff here for you to get contact details and a book there for him to Word of God to help just that initial start. God bless you. This dear lady's going to come and just help you. Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you for two people that have come into your kingdom and into your family today. We give you praise and glory. Jesus said, nobody can come to me except the Father draws them. So we thank you, Father, that you are drawing these two young people today. And we thank you for Doug. Just strengthen him. Help him be reestablished. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a great clap offering. Thank you, Father. You've still got time to register for Behold. Just love you to register. Just don't let this opportunity pass you by. This is a very strategic time for us as a church. Love you to be part of it. If finances, if paying the registration is a real issue for you, please come and see me. There's ways we can maybe help you. So please register. Please be here. That'll be fantastic. Last thing Janet's going to. Kath is taking registrations this morning. Up on the stage, waving, lovely lady, waving a hand up there, holding a computer. And Annie's going to register as well. Hello, Annie. Annie's already in.
She's in.
Well and truly in. So greet somebody, give them a God bless. I don't know if there's morning tea or not. There is morning tea. God bless you. Have an awesome day. And if you're able to come tonight and pray together for a while, from 7 o'clock onwards, that'd be fantastic. God bless you.